association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday the 21st of July. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. As you remarked, I've actually had my hair cut for the first time since February.
She's been flouncing, listener. She's been flouncing about.
I actually was swimming at Chalkwell Bay yesterday in Southend, I was saying to my new husband, don't splash me because I'm on bunker tomorrow and I'm having my photograph taken. Not that we really do that anymore because we have to stand 58 miles apart.
Yeah, but you did take 5,000 selfies earlier.
Yeah, but I'm not. I really never look good in a selfie. I don't know where to look. I don't get selfies.
Hmm.
And also the light in this studio really needs to be sorted. It doesn't do anybody any good. That's my excuse. Maybe it's because
right?
I'm old.
Yeah, is that right?
My nose gets bigger and, you know, my teeth get yellower. And do you know what? Chalkwell Bay. It's really nice. It's next to Westcliff, if you know the area.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm sort of, I like to comment on toilets, don't I?
Unfortunately, yeah.
So there's a nice loo there, and it's a really, really good loo. It's kept very clean, and there's a table outside with some sanitizer chained to the table with a ball and chain. And I got my new husband to take a picture. I'll tweet it later. But it's very strange. So they have an array of toilet cubicles.
Right.
There's obviously the wheelchair one.
Can you stop banging the mic up and down?
No, it's a bit... It's a bit annoying. We got new mouth guards, listener, and my one is very wobbly. It seems to have stretched from last week. I expect it's been in the wash.
I have washed it. Yeah. That is probably part of the problem.
It's stretched. Anyway, so there's a disabled one, and then there's a male one, and then all the rest are male and female.
Right.
There's no female. So why is there a male one and a disabled one, and then all the rest are male and female? So I had to go in the male and female because... Strangely, I'm not a man.
Are you sure?
I'm definitely not a man.
I have no idea anymore. I can't. Well, I have no way of knowing the difference between any of these.
I identify as me, Jules Serkin.
Yeah, exactly.
A lady. But anyway, I had to go into the male and female one because that was the only option. And there was pee all over the floor because men are allowed in there. I'm sorry. But there was. And, of course, I'm in my little flip-flops and things, and I had two bags with me, my mobile phone and all my beach stuff and, you know, suntan cream. And there was no hook to put my bag on. And, honestly, maybe there was a drain thing as well, I don't know. But it was an inch thick, listener, and I waded in and thought, oh, no. And it didn't smell very nice. It did smell a bit mannish. And so I went. The only place I could do it was, you know, those automatic doors have that metal triangle.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've got them here. So I thought, I'll hang my handbag and I'll hang my beach bag on that.
That's all right if nobody opens the door.
Well, I did lock it. But then I get a little bit of lupe because I don't want to touch handles at the moment. I don't know if I'm just getting a bit over the top. But do you touch a door handle, listener? Do you, Paul?
Sorry, I fell asleep anyway, there. I fell asleep halfway through the introduction to this radio show.
I then have to put my hand up in this container. I wonder if tented and toilets can tell me. And it's impossible to get the loo roll out because it's like on a great big roll. And I kept rolling it round and round and round. Me and my lovely flip-flops are getting soaked in this, you know, horrible watery stuff. And it's up to my toes. And then I finally get some loo roll, put it on the seat, sit down, do my thing, and then both bags fall off the metal thing into said water, which is a couple of inches thick. And honestly, if you'd have heard me, I was in a right state. So then I picked it up by the skin of my fingers, and then I was trying to wash my bags in this little sink that they've got. It wasn't fun.
Yeah.
And I think the moral of the story is, can we have a female-only toilet?
Well,
somewhere you put your lipstick on.
But do you know, I don't want to perpetuate this.
Because
no, but we are particularly bad at public toilets in this country, is all I'll say. I mean, it's very rare to even find one at all.
I know.
And if you find one that's unlocked and clean, is really
quite
unusual.
Exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah.
Anyway, I want to know. I will tweet Essex County Council because, on the whole, Essex do things really well, and it was, you know, it was good to find them all open.
Yeah.
Who's our sponsor?
It's the lovely folks from Fit for Trade. Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. Fitfortrade.co.uk for all your training, qualifications, occupational compliance and peace of mind. Thank you once again to the lovely folks at Fit for Trade for supporting us on the Business Mugger Show. We'd love to hear from you, all the businesses out there in the southeast of England. The best thing to do is to tweet us. You can tweet me at VanillaWeb if you use the hashtag BBunker, or you can tweet Jules at Jules Sirkin. Use the hashtag BBunker, and we'd love to hear from you, and we'll give you a shout out or mention whatever you want us to mention. So do start tweeting. We've got two fantastic guests to talk to today on the show. Lots of news to bring you, and of course all the tweets. And I'm going to start off with a tweet that we got from the Business Diaries, and they say, oh, a shout out, yes please, we're hoping to hold our live storytelling event on December the 10th. That's COVID allowing, of course. Let's keep our fingers crossed, but podcasts are available in the meantime. Check out Twitter and Facebook account for details. So if you want to find out details of both the podcasts and hopefully the next live event, if you follow the Biz, B-I-Z, the Biz Diaries on Twitter or on Facebook, you can find out all about it.
We've had quite a few tweets coming in.
We've had quite a lot, yeah.
So I was just mid-tweet there. Tracy Ann Barker was completely on my side, Paul Andrews, and she said, no, I don't touch the handles, and I can feel your pain, she said. That's Tracy Ann Barker. You can find her at Taba, T-A-B-A, _official, or Taba, _official. And you can find their website, of course, at tabarkerassociates.co.uk.
She also says, looking forward to the first Listen Live for a few weeks. Great shows and guests over the last few weeks. I've enjoyed the catch-ups. Thanks for keeping us all informed on the Business Bunker Show. Well, thank you. Thank you for your support, Tracy Ann, and thank you for listening live this week.
It's good to have a live listener now and then.
One,
I do like catch-up. I mean, when we were doing our famous Zooms, I would listen in the garden, which was really nice, with a little daiquiri, and annoy you by tweeting all the way through it. Tell you what, my hands are really dry. I've used so much sanitizer. Do you find that?
We've been doing, drinking it.
No, just... And have you noticed how the sanitizer, wherever you go, it's different? So some of it's really astringent and, you know, very alcohol-y.
Yeah.
And some of it's quite pleasant, depending on where you go.
Yeah.
I've got quite a pleasant one in my bag. It's got essential oils in. Whether it works or not, I don't know. So this is from... Who's this from? I don't really know. I'll tell you in a minute. It might be at the bottom. They say that, hope you're well, Business Bunker. And as you're probably aware, the Chancellor announced a mini budget. And this was last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So they've sent it in. And the headlines were, you can comment on this and heckle me if you want, Paul Andrews, a job retention bonus. The government will pay employers £1,000 per employee that they bring back from furlough, so long as they employ them until at least January. What's your opinion on that? Quickly, in 50 seconds.
Yeah, I don't see the point.
1,000 isn't much, is it?
I don't see the point. To employ someone between August and January is going to cost you more than £1,000.
Exactly.
If you were going to let them go in February, just so that you can clobber £1,000 in January. I just don't understand that at all.
I was a bit perplexed about that. Mm-mm. I agree with you. VAT, so that's been cut from 20% to 5% on food, accommodation and attractions. Mm. That takes effect from last week, the 15th of July, until the 12th of January 2021. Mm. That's obviously aimed at hospitality and tourism. Would you agree?
Yep.
And then 50% off meals. Now, there was a whole furore over this because it was last week it was announced. Mm. The government will give people 50% off meals in participating restaurants on Monday to Wednesday in August. Mm. So between Monday and Wednesday, up to £10 a person. Now, a lot of hospitality restaurants close on a Monday and a Tuesday to give their staff a break. It's the only time they have. So I'm not sure whether the chains will benefit from that rather than the lovely small independents that we all love. Give us your thoughts on that. You can tweet at VanillaWeb, use the hashtag BBunker, what your thoughts are, listener, on the VAT being cut from 20 to 5% for food and accommodation and attractions. And also on the government giving 50% off meals. Will you be taking note of that and going out Monday to Wednesday in August? It's only in August. Then there's Job Seekers Support. That's $1 billion to the Department for Work and Pensions to help job seekers, including increasing the number of coaches in job centres. That means business coaches, not, you know, the long things that you sit in, by the way. Are there any job centres? Ours is a Turkish restaurant, our job centre in Whitstable now.
Have they changed it?
Whitstable High Street is now Ala Turca.
I mean, there you go.
You know, going, you know, it must have all gone online, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
Stamp duty has been scrapped on property sales. That's caused a lot of excitement in my areas, people I know. So sales up to 500,000 until next March of next year, the 31st of March, stamp duty has been scrapped. So that's obviously heading for a boost, hopefully, for housing so that we don't get a huge crash. I think China went down by 30%.
Mm. European Union dropped by 28%. Looks like we'll do the same. Everyone's suffering.
And, of course, Boris is now screaming for us all to go out and go back to our offices because the towns are quiet.
Whilst working from home.
Exactly. And people are enjoying working from home, from hubs like Fruitworks, for example, where you can perhaps work from home and then go in 2-3 days a week to Fruitworks.
Yep.
And then there's a green investment package. $3 billion green investment package, including $2 billion in grants for landlords and homeowners to improve energy efficiency of homes, and up to 5,000 per household is allowed. And the rest will go towards work improving the energy efficiency of public buildings. What do you think of that, Paul Andrews?
Yeah, they've been trying it for a long time, haven't they?
Yeah. Does that mean I could put solar panels on, or is that
wrong? Who knows? Who knows? I mean, you need detail around all of these things.
Loopholes, weren't they?
Yeah, well, you need details. But to be honest, we've been there for so many years. They've been, you get a grant to put solar panels up, and then you get this, and then you get that. But it really hasn't scratched the surface. I think mostly what they're talking about now is insulation and energy efficiency in terms of, like smart meters and more energy efficient boilers and cookers and things like that. Because as technology improves, it's like cars, it's petrol cars. When this whole thing started, petrol and diesel cars were dreadful in terms of their output of CO2.
Yeah.
Over the last 20 years, it's come down and down and down till, once upon a time, buying a car that only emitted less than 100 kilograms of CO2, you ended up buying some little noddy car. It was the only thing that worked. But now the vast majority of cars of all kinds are that efficient.
Yeah.
So technology has continually makes things more efficient, and I guess what they're doing is providing some grants towards you upgrading whatever you've got to something that's more efficient.
Mm. Well, but, as you know, with my Merc, I tried when I bought it 3 years ago. Yeah. I own it now, by the way. I've paid off.
Oh, well.
And, of course, they tried to sell me a new one.
But
I like mine, and they can't find me anything that's it's quite distinctive, and I like the red roof.
Did you take it in and get your engine management system looked at?
No, I've had to book it in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
it's going in next week. So if I break down, it's the best carriages. Yeah, I begged them. I thought it was an oil light. And then there's one last thing. Kickstart scheme for young adults are like this. It's a $2 billion kickstart scheme designed to boost jobs for young adults. The government will subsidise the wages of 6 month work placements for certain 16 to 24 year olds. They don't say what the thing is there. The government is offering companies new payments for taking on trainees and employers. So we applaud that. Maybe $2 billion isn't that much, but we applaud that anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so lots of discussion there, listeners. If you want to tweet us on your thoughts for next week, that would be good, or today.
Mm-hmm. How about this for an opportunity? It's an opportunity to gain new marketing insights. The Kent Business School, part of the University of Kent, is seeking an SME with a marketing challenge that can be solved by their MBA students. This exciting project will begin in October, taking place over the course of a year. During this time, our highly skilled MBA students will develop proposals based on the scenarios impacting your business. You will then be able to use the proposals as you wish. Yeah. If you want to find out more, do contact them by dropping them an email at kbsbusiness@kent.ac.uk. That's kbsbusiness@kent.ac.uk. So if you would like help developing a marketing plan for your small business, and you would like to see what the MBA students at the Kent Business School can do for you, do drop them an email. But what a fantastic opportunity.
Very, very good. And the Kent Deaf Children's Society, they say, we could never have imagined what this year would bring, with children missing out on their GCSEs and A-levels and the challenges of homeschooling, of course. And we know, they say, that so many deaf children have faced hurdles bigger than most in trying to learn from home, with ongoing difficulties of video calls, online learning, which did not take account of their needs, and especially missing their school friends. And our award, say the Kent Deaf Society, for educational achievement is the perfect opportunity to nominate that special child who has shown dedication against the odds, have faced those challenges head on and had their own successes regardless of difficulties. And the academic achievement is not always the most important thing here, they say, but positivity and resilience during such a difficult time is something we think should be celebrated. So if you know someone who deserves to be nominated, fill out the form, www.kdcs.org. Go to there and find the form, fill it out, and nominate a Kent Deaf child that you think deserves that.
Fantastic. We're going to play some tunage while we get our first guest on the phone. What do you think this is?
Oh my god, it sounds like church organ. Oh, pop music.
Yay. Cheesy tunage there, pop music by M, and hopefully we're now joined on the phone by Henry Nicholson of the Pop-Up Business School. Henry, good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going? You know what, I've had cheesy intros, but I think that's definitely up there.
That's got to be the cheesiest ever, hasn't it? Did
it
you like
really
I do try to please people with my cheesiness.
It was up all night thinking of that one.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think the best one best one I've ever had was somebody played Ecstasy of Gold.
Oh, right.
The 10 minutes before I came on, it was very weird.
So, yeah, well, sorry about that. I've got a weird sense of music. Henry, thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you kick off by telling the listeners about the Pop-Up Business School?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Pop-Up Business School, in short, we help people take business ideas from an idea through to a trading business.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that in a very different way. You know, so the traditional way of starting a business, for example, is it's all about writing business plans, working out how much money you need to borrow, borrowing, you know, that much money, mm-hmm. and then maybe 2 years later, if it all works out, mm-hmm. you'll start making some money.
Yep.
And we sort of looked at that and we went, oh, that doesn't sound very exciting, does it?
Mm-hmm. It's also, sorry to interrupt you, Henry, also, it's not actually very true either in terms of how most businesses actually get off the ground.
Exactly, right. And it's, you know, it's very old advice, that, and you know, it's classed as traditional and it's what we're taught in school, it's what society tells us we should do.
Yep.
And, you know, as soon as somebody says, you know what, I'm going to start a business, the first thing anyone tells you is, have you got your business plan? Have you written one? Where are you going to start?
Yeah.
So at Pop-Up, we turn all of that on its head and we look at the stuff that's actually important.
Yep.
And in short, we help people start a business completely for free.
Right.
The course is free. It doesn't cost you any money to do. We don't encourage spending money to get the business started.
Right.
And we definitely don't encourage borrowing money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, funding, you know, business funding in quotation, is just a code word for debt.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially a time like this, you know, like debt isn't something that anybody needs at all.
Absolutely. It's interesting that you say that, because I don't hear that often enough. Funnily enough as well, I operated for a number of years as an angel investor.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I tried to do with so many startup businesses was to put them off using me at all. You know, because what you're doing is giving away, for very little money, because a startup company has no value, a large portion of a potential business for no real massive benefit other than some debt. So I couldn't agree with you more. Bootstrapping a business is the best way to go.
That's absolutely it. And the way we do this, so the way we run, so we run 5-day courses that cover everything you'd need to get your business from an idea, or even if you don't have an idea, if you just know that you need to work for yourself, or you don't want to work for someone else, or you just need a little bit of control.
Yeah.
So what we do is we have a 5-day program. Day one is all about starting a business, starting for free, and we have a dedicated session of 5 ways to get going for free.
Right.
So how to find the things you need, how to borrow the stuff you need, how to negotiate for, you know, the kitchen or the restaurant or the printer, you know, whatever it is that you need to get your business going.
Yeah. So, just explain to me again the format. You said 5 days. Is that a 5-day program, or you run 5 separate kind of things?
Yes. So, so it is a 5-day course. So that will be day one. Is all about how you can get going and grow.
Yep.
Day two is all about sales and marketing. And now for us, sales is the number one thing when you're starting a business.
Yep.
Because if all you're doing is, you know, say we wanted to start a bakery, Paul.
Mm.
So, you know, we start making cupcakes. They're really good. They're the best cupcakes you've ever seen. If we haven't got a customer, if we're not selling those, if we're not making any money, what we've got there is a really, really expensive hobby.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, until that point that you can start making a sale and then use your customer's money to grow the business, it's not a business.
Absolutely.
You just have a hobby.
And a larger waistline.
and a much larger waistline. Tell you what, though, never trust a skinny chef. So day two is all about sales and marketing. Day three, we will show people how to build a website for free.
Right.
You know, these days, getting online is such a huge part of starting a business or really doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not online, you're more or less invisible. So we'll show you how to get a website off the ground. Day four, the Thursday, is social media. So we'll cover what social channels are currently, you know, active. What are the main ones? How are they used? And then how can we implement that for your business and choose the right ones?
Right.
Because, it's, you know, a mistake I see a lot of small businesses do is that they'll set up a Facebook account, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. They'll do everything.
Yeah.
But then they'll do none of them particularly well.
Yeah. As you implied, they picked entirely the wrong platform. So, you know, a bookkeeper is going to go on TikTok or something. Yeah.
Although, certain niche audience, I guess. but yes, you're absolutely right. So it's a big part of, you know, figuring out which one or two are going to be the ones that you're absolutely going to own.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where you're going to become the expert. That's where you're going to own the space.
Yeah.
And everything in between. And then the Friday, Friday is usually a little bit shorter, you know, Friday, let's have a long weekend. Friday is all about, it's actually my favourite day. It's the tax, the company structures, right. The financial bits and, you know, spreadsheets and funding.
That would be my worst day.
Well, I mean, I think for most of us that first start in business, that is our worst day for all of us, because none of us really start in business to do admin, do we? But of course, once you've been in business for a while, you suddenly realise just how important it is, you know, understanding your cash flow, understanding your VAT returns, understanding all the stuff that you don't particularly want to understand, but it is actually the bedrock of running a proper business.
Yes, yeah, 100%, 100%. And actually, you know, in business, especially in small business, there are three columns, and I guess I would call them the trinities of management.
Right.
Sounds very posh, it's just a bar graph. But what you've got, you know, you've got the product or the service in one column, and that's, you know, that's what you do, so that's our cupcakes. So baking, we absolutely love. And what you do is you measure this based on excitement. So if we've got column one is the product, we've got 100% excitement because we love baking and that's what we do. The second column is selling it. And it's funding the business, and it's, you know, having those conversations with customers, telling people how much it is, you know, all that kind of stuff. Usually, people are not very excited about that. It's quite a difficult thing to get used to or to enjoy, at very least. So, you know, we lower that down. So what you see there is you've got a full bar graph of the passion, the thing that excites you.
Yep.
You've then got not as much, a little bit, but not as much around selling it. And then you've got the admin and control and the finance, and usually that's really, really low.
Yep.
Unless you are a bookkeeper or an accountant, then usually that's, you know, that's the thing
that's
you like.
That's your passion, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So what we do at Pop-Up is, you know, we sort of address all three of these things, and we talk about this in the course as well. But unless you've got a level of all three of them or a way of doing them, it's really easy to fall apart. Because, you know, as a small business, as creatives, you know, because as entrepreneurs, we are creative people.
Yep.
It's, we want to spend all of our time doing the business, you know, making the products, sewing the clothes or, you know, doing whatever the business is. But actually, the challenge then is that we need to spend as much time selling it so that we can keep doing it.
Yep.
And then we need to make sure that all of our books are in order so that we can continue to do it forever.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's those trinities of management, they're quite an interesting thing to dive into.
Sure.
Because that will give you some really big clues as to what we need to work on.
Can I ask you a question there, Henry? What your experience is of talking to people that are looking to start businesses with the sales process? My experience over many years is that, especially in the UK, I've lived and worked in the US where it's different, but in the UK we seem to shy away from sales. In America you can do a degree in sales at a university. Here there's no such thing. So we tend to as a society, not look very fondly on sales, and most people kind of struggle with sales. It's not something they like doing. I just wondered what your experience was of dealing with startup businesses, and how, you know, how they respond to that need to sell.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, because so we've run courses in the States as well, and right. It's really interesting you mentioned it, because you're right, it is a totally different culture. Totally different. They're very direct, and I think one thing we're really good at here is being very British about things. You know, it's oh, would you mind awfully if you know, like, we love to give people the option to say no, and actually we expect people to say no most of the time. But that's why you'll see, you know, some, there are people that you just cannot say no to, and that's usually because they're so direct. So direct, and it's, you know, not down the level of they're rude about it, but but being direct is such a powerful way of you know, progressing things and making sales. But so back to your question, what's really interesting is especially in the UK and what we've seen running our courses, when we talk about sales, what a lot of people imagine is, you know, a guy with slick back hair in a suit that's just a little bit too big knocking on your front door.
With slightly scuffed shoes.
We don't like it. Yes, exactly. And you know, it's got a negative connotation. We don't love the idea of it, just because we don't like being sold to in a negative way.
Yeah.
But if you think about it on the flip side, and you think about the things that you have paid for and you have bought and you have been sold to, if it's done in a way where it benefits your life, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
The only time sales is negative is when it's a disruption and it doesn't fit in with your life.
Yeah.
So if you think about this from a, you know, as a business owner, or, you know, you're starting your own business, the product or the service that you are delivering improves somebody's life in one way or another.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether that's entertainment or whether, you know, if you're a plumber, for example, you got, somebody's got a pipe that's busted in their, you know, the front of their house, there's water going everywhere.
Yep.
They're not going to mind you selling to them. That's improving their life.
Try getting one.
There you go. But you see what I mean? It's just all about the positioning. And I think when we talk about sales, we put it into this negative box. But actually, it's all about the outlook and what you're trying to do. And if you can get a customer as enthusiastic about your idea as you are, the sale is almost... it happens automatically.
Absolutely. And I guess what that starts with, having a proper idea of who your customer should be. And what I mean by that is, I'm sure you do, like me, Henry, you know, we're on LinkedIn, and I get dozens of messages a week from people trying to flog me stuff that have done no research at all. They have no idea that I may... need or want their product, because they don't even know what I do. Yeah, they just sent me a sales message that says, do you want to buy this? And that's why they find it such a difficult task, because they're trying to sell things to the wrong people. The analogy you used about someone with a broken water pipe is a very definite, isn't it? You know, of course you want to hear from a plumber. Of course you want to be sold, because you have a very definite problem to be fixed. Is that something you talk about, how to identify your marketplace, how to identify your customer?
Yeah, definitely. And actually, that's probably the thing we speak about the most throughout the course. And I tell you what, the biggest mistake I see people make all the time, I would say more or less 99% of cases, people will make the mistake of trying to sell to everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, let's go back to the cupcake example. In theory, everybody likes cupcakes, don't they?
Yep.
You know, for the most part. You know, ignoring dietary requirements for a minute, like most people would like cupcakes. However, if you try and sell to everybody, you're going to end up selling to nobody.
Yep.
Because you don't relate to any one person. You're not getting in front of any one group.
Yep.
You're just putting your business out into the noise of the rest of the world.
Yep.
However, if I decide... you know, if I go really, really detailed, and this is what we help people do, say I decide to sell to car dealerships and I want to sell to them for their events or for their staff, I don't know, I want to sell them 30 cupcakes a month. Is it easy to find all of the car dealerships where you live?
Yep.
Horrifically easy. You know, we know exactly where they are. Mm. And then suddenly, the marketing activity, you know, you're not going to do TV adverts, you're not going to do radio necessarily, you're not going to do newspapers, because you can literally walk in and talk to the customer directly.
Yep.
And I think this is one of the big things that I really want. I love helping people figure out and understand is that by narrowing down who your audience is, it makes your life so much easier because you know what marketing activity you have to do.
It's almost counterintuitive, isn't it? Although it's not, but it's almost counterintuitive because I think so many people go, well, anyone can buy our product because it makes them feel better that, you know, that there's 60 million people that could potentially buy their product. But it actually doesn't help you with the sales process, as you've just identified. It's actually far easier to chunk it into much more deliverable pieces because you stand more chance of actually selling into that demographic.
Yeah, I totally agree. You're exactly right. And it's, you know, we're not saying don't sell to everybody. Mm. All we're saying is you need to just be really specific of who you want to hit first.
Yeah.
Because, you know, say, for example, my target market, complete broad generalisation, is women between the age of 30 and 40 who work in a certain sector and drive a certain car.
Yeah.
If, you know, Dave from around the corner who drives a different car and works in a different sector says, actually, can I buy one?
Yep.
I'm not going to say no, but, you know, I'm just not directing my energy towards that group because I know who my target audience is. And that's basically the whole point of it.
Yeah.
It's to make your life easier.
So do you reckon that by, you know, scaling down that detail and focusing, it's actually, sounds to me that it's a lot calmer and less scattergun approach that you're teaching people?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. Because, you know, if you looked at does anybody have phone books anymore? Does the Yellow Pages still exist?
Yeah.
do you remember how thick the Yellow Pages used to be?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were huge. You know, you used to use those to reach the top shelf in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, if you get one of those out, put it on the desk, that is who you're saying you're going to ring. You're going to call everybody in that phone book.
Yeah.
Like, it's just unrealistic.
It's not practical at all, is it?
Totally unrealistic.
It's really funny. On a very similar note, somebody contacted me the other day and said, I'd like your help, Paul. You've got a lot of Twitter followers. How do you do that? So I looked at their Twitter account and it became fairly obvious why they weren't getting very far. And the fact is, what I said to them is, well, who is it that you want to follow you? Who is it, you know, who do you want to follow you? And they went, well, anyone. I went, well, why would you want to be followed by anyone? Surely you want to be followed by people you want to talk to. So basically, it's a question of you following the people that you want to follow back so that you can do it. If you look at and in this particular case, this person's Twitter feed, everyone they followed was a celebrity of some kind. Well, none of them are going to follow you back. Mm. So you're not going to have a conversation with them. So you haven't actually got anyone that you're having a conversation with. What you need to do is identify the type of people that you want to have a conversation with, you know, and then follow them and they'll follow you back and have a conversation and it grows from there. And it's very similar with what you're saying about the sales approach to this.
Yeah.
That's it. And, you know, there are two points to sales that will guarantee that it works every time. Mm. One is transferring the enthusiasm.
Yep.
Because that, you know, that's all it is. If I can get them as excited as me, they're going to be able to, they're going to be happy to buy it. But then the second point, it's add value.
Yep.
If you're not adding value, even, in, you know, like now, for example, technically, what I'm doing now is I'm advertising the course.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, that's the work we're doing now. But I'm, you know, hopefully, anyway, I'm adding value because we're talking around the subject. And,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, people listening, if it's applicable to them, hopefully it will be helping as well. And if you're not adding value up front, people find it very difficult to figure out how it fits into their life, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just had a tweet from a lady called Tracy Ann Barker, and she says, really interesting guest, Henry Nicholson. Agree, it can be so easy to get the wrong thing. Niche your market and niche to your target audience helps your sales process. Absolutely.
So, Henry, the pop-up business school, it's a 5-day program that you offer, and you offer it totally for free?
Yeah, completely for free. Completely for free. Our business model is, we've got kind of a Robin Hood style business model, I guess.
Okay. So you mug them on the way out.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Sorry.
No. So what we do is we identified our target market fairly early on when we started. And this was about 8 years ago. And we figured out that housing associations, so social landlords,
yep,
and councils,
yep,
and there are two primary audiences.
Yep.
They would pay us to run a course to engage their local community.
Yep.
And that's how we started, and we've kind of branched out from there. So what we've got going on in this time is it's actually an EU-funded project, and this is course number 19 out of 22 that we've been running in Kent.
Right. Okay.
Over the last 3 years, so right. it's one of many. But this is the only one that is Kent-wide that is, it's for anybody in the county.
Yeah.
They're more than welcome to attend. And, if people come from outside Kent, I'm not too bothered.
Sure. Yeah.
That's also fine. So what we do is we get sponsors to pay us to run the course.
Right, okay.
So that we can give it away for free.
Yep, that makes sense. That makes a sense. And I know what you mean. I've done some work with social housing groups myself. They have a need to get their tenants into either paid work or starting businesses so they can afford to pay the rents, which is fairly simple. So,
is there a start date for this, Henry, or a deadline for these courses?
Yes. So this one in particular that we're talking about, it starts on the 3rd of August. So right. That's two weeks-ish.
Yeah.
It's the 3rd of August until the 7th, which is the Friday. It is totally free. All you need to do is head over to our website, which is popupbusinessschool.co.uk. We've got an events page with all of the events. We've just got one that is called Kent August 2020. Go through there and there's a sign-up process as well.
Fantastic. Henry, thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. We have put a link to the website on the radio website, so if people want to find out, they can go there if they didn't write it down, and they can book their place on your 3rd of August course, and also find out about all the other things you do. If they want to follow you on social media, how can they do that?
Our Twitter handle is at popupbusiness. I think it's the same on Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn, actually, as well. Find us on that. Alternatively, our website does have all of that sort of stuff as well.
Okay, give us one final shout-out for the website.
One final shout-out for the website. Businessschool.co.uk.
He's obviously on form today, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
So, whereas I'm not, Henry, I was frolicking on a beach in Essex yesterday.
Jules is into a three bottle hangover today. Not that I'm spilling any beans.
It totally wasn't my fault. It was just everybody else decided they weren't going to drink anymore, and we'd open the bottles. What's a girl to do?
She's the kind of person that can't waste anything. Listen, Henry, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. We wish you continued success with the Pop-Up Business School. It's a fabulous idea. I love the
passion.
Not just the passion. I love the basis under which it's being delivered, because it is based in reality about, in my experience, how you actually go about starting a business, and that I love. It's not the old traditional way of doing it, and I love that. Yeah.
Good structure there. It's the 3rd of August for 5 days, isn't it, Henry? If people want to start, brilliant.
Fantastic. Okay. Henry, thank you so much. Enjoy your afternoon. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you, everyone. Good luck.
Brilliant.
I'll speak to you soon.
Keep in touch.
Cheers. Bye now.
Will do. Bye.
Very interesting there.
Henry Nicholson, the Pop-Up Business School.
Yeah, we certainly need that now, don't we, with what's going on.
But I don't...
it's not just that they're doing it. It's not just that it's for free. Mm. As I said, I like the ethos of the course.
Mm.
Yeah, about bootstrapping it, about focusing on the things that need focusing on.
He's paired it
focusing
right
on sales, focus on your demographic, focusing on your administration, your cash flow, your budgetary management. Mm. All the things that we don't like doing, but you have to do to run an effective business.
And the social media and the website,
and then social media and websites and all the other things that go along with marketing.
That takes,
exactly. But if you do it right, it pays you dividends.
Yeah.
It's people that half do it or get it wrong or don't put enough effort into it.
Pretty well, I could do with a cupcake now after all.
Yeah.
We've had a little tweet. So it's Kim Stevens, and she said, I'd love a shout out on Bunker and she's used the hashtag BeBunker for all the care in Kent, home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. Thank you to our Care in Kent team for the exceptional role in caring for the vulnerable despite all the current risks. And thank you for your dedication. So that's Kim Stevens, the lovely the care lady. You can find them, the hashtag the care lady as well.
Fantastic. Michael Parks Surveyors. Paul, we'd love a Business Bunker shout out today if we may, please. Have an incredible day, everybody. Well, thank you. That's Michael Parks Surveyors, MPSL on the Twitter, over there based in Medway, covering the southeast of England for all your commercial property needs. Do check them out.
Ali Harold has said hello as well.
Hi, Ali. How are you?
Professional speaking coach, helping you move past the fear of public speaking and speaking authentically.
Chips and Dinks, the lovely Bev and Tony. Yeah. Business Bunker are on air this afternoon with a great lineup and very relevant information to help business owners, all free, including a shout out. So big shout out to Chips and Dinks, to Beverly and Tony and the crew there.
Did you mention Booker Wyatt? I don't know.
I haven't yet. No.
So they are on our wavelength, and they can help you take the hassle out of bookkeeping, providing you with time to focus on other important aspects of business. And they're based in Kings Hill in the southeast. You can find them Booker Wyatt. .co.uk.
Fantastic. Angus from Local Food and Drink Tours, just in case you're wondering what day it is, it's Tuesday. It also means it's the day for the Business Bunker radio show. So big shout out to Angus, Local Food and Drink Tours. Follow him on the Twitter. Food Drink Tours is his Twitter handle. Vicky at Pink Spaghetti is good Lord, is it Tuesday?
Yeah.
Vicky can't join us live, so she's going to listen on the catch up. So if you're listening later, Vicky, hello. Alison Palmer has asked me to promote this for the FSB. It's a free webinar, and it's Get Financial Support, Fight for Your Intellectual Property, and Learn Best Practice from Leaders in the Creative Industry. It's a webinar for the creative industries, and it's taking place this Friday, Friday the 31st of July at 2 p.m. How do you get to it? Not sure. You're going to have to follow Alison. FSB Kent is the Twitter handle. It's being promoted by FSB_voice. FSB_voice. And you can find out, if you're in the creative industries, how to join the webinar on Friday the 31st of July at 2 p.m. Terry Thorpe has tweeted, Tenterton Chamber of Commerce are relaunching the Tenterton Card Scheme to support local businesses recovering from COVID-19. You can find out about that by following Tenterton Chamber, and their Twitter handle is Tent Chamber, T-E-N-T. Or you can follow Tenterton Chamb, C-H-A-M-B-1. They're both chamber accounts. Or you can follow Terry, T-T-G, on the Twitter. Tenterton Chamber of Commerce relaunching the Tenterton card scheme.
What is the...
it's a loyalty card
local
scheme. Yeah, it's brilliant. A local shopping local...
Have you got one?
I haven't, no.
Get one.
Yeah, I shall.
As soon as you can.
I shall, yeah.
Brilliant.
What else have we got? I'll try and flash through some of these because we've got so many, which is lovely.
Ibiza Fitness Foods.
I just came across that. You can read that. Go on.
This always makes me hungry. Our superb chefs cooking up a storm of delicious, scrumptious, healthy meals cooked from scratch here in sunny Kent. They're based near Manston, but they're delivering throughout the UK, they say. So you can go on to their website, which is ibizafitnessfood.com.
Fantastic. M Farmers Market. On the Twitter. Quick shout out for some of the Westmorland Farmers Market stallholders doing home deliveries this week whilst funding to secure the reopening of the Farmers Market is finalised. The companies that are doing that include Precious Porkers, Far Acre Farm, Villagers Sausages and Arcade Fisheries. Do give M Farmers Market a follow on Twitter. Twitter handle is M Farmers Market. And also check out Precious Porkers, Far Acre Farm, Villagers Sausages and Arcade Fisheries, if you would.
Yes, it's good. I love that. Was it Precious Porkers?
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't that make you feel like eating a sausage?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It does me, anyway.
Tracy Ferguson, have a great show. Looking forward to catching up on the replay. Thank you, Tracy. We do appreciate your support. Tracy's been a long-time supporter for us, and we really do appreciate it.
Yeah, she's still a lot younger than us, though.
Oh, she's much younger than us. I mean, yeah, everyone's much younger than us.
I know you mentioned Noddy earlier on. You said something was Noddy or something was. And I thought, well, that's half of the listeners. Well, they did get a revival, didn't it? It was like a cartoon. It wasn't the real Noddy.
It wasn't the original cast.
I mean, we grew up with the real Noddy, didn't we? And Big Ears. Do you remember him?
Yeah. I can't really describe this on the radio, but there was a tweet the other day. A lady took a photograph outside of her window, and she said, it's peak 2020. Noddy has broken down outside my house. And there literally was Noddy's car with two blokes with the bonnet open, trying to get it to start.
It was Noddy's car.
Yeah, it was obviously, but like, it was a yellow car with red wheels and no roof. You know, it was Noddy's car.
And did they have a little hat with a jingle?
No, they weren't dressed as Noddy and Big Ears, but there were two blokes trying to get it had broken down, and they were trying to get it to start. It just made me smile. That smile.
I would like to read something. Are we all right for you?
Yeah, go on, you can read something.
I'll read something short. How to get the results you want with LinkedIn. This is always essential. The 6 steps to success live. Are you using LinkedIn but struggling to see the benefits and how to get results? The expert Jade Pluck says that she has a know-how planning time and effort workshop on Wednesday the 22nd of July. It's 11 to 12:30, and you can book at bitesizeonline.co.uk. Yeah, LinkedIn is something that I sort of I put things on there, but it's not really my thing, so perhaps that's a good one. Wednesday 22nd, that's manana.
I struggle with LinkedIn. You know, I've got a lot of followers on LinkedIn, and I run a couple of groups with 7,000 followers.
Yeah,
and I post on there every week, but I get no traction from it at all.
Everybody
says how good it is as a business-to-business platform, but I get no traction at all. I really get very little.
It's strange, isn't it? And comments and likes and things are really important on there. But there's a lot to do. Like if I put a webinar on, I have to put the website of the webinar or the link in a comment for some reason, and I don't really get that.
Yeah, because they don't like you linking directly to anything.
Otherwise it takes it away.
Yeah.
So I always have to say website link in the comments, which always feels ridiculous.
ZC Social Media, they're having an exciting day over there.
Are they?
Yeah.
Another one?
Yeah, they're planning the virtual ZC Live event today. So look out for exciting news to come. And they say, if you'd like to get involved, we'd love to hear from you. And that's the lovely folks at ZC Social Media. And I'm really looking forward to ZC Live. It's going to be a virtual event, I think, this year.
Like most.
Yeah, like everything else. But looking forward to it. It's good.
Yeah. And we should get some excitement next week, I think, with them. They're tweeting and things, I think.
It looks like we're going to have another Twitter chat.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday, we had a couple of weeks ago, we had a Twitter chat. ZC Social Media run a social media academy and a social media challenge. And a couple of weeks ago, they ran the social media challenge academy and they had a Twitter chat around the Business Bunker Show. And much fun it was. And there were lots of lovely people involved. And it looks like we're going to do another one next week. And I'm really looking forward to that because that will be lots and lots of fun.
Yeah.
So do look out for the tweets on that. Romney Resource Centre, would you like to brush up on your computer skills? Romney Resource Centre is here to help you. Contact us by email at reception@romney-resource.co.uk to book an appointment to do a basic computer appreciation course.
How to work from home and keep selling as a live masterclass. It's on Wednesday, the 29th of July, so that's next Wednesday, 11 to 12:30. And it's the famous Frank Furness. He's an international sales and marketing expert, qualified in the top 0.5% of salespeople worldwide. He says you can attend a masterclass with me and find out how you too can sell effectively, stay in contact with key clients, and find new ones while working from home. You can go again to bitesizeonline.co.uk.
Fantastic.
The FSB have a Maidstone virtual networking event taking place on Wednesday the 29th of July, 4pm to 5pm. Meet other businesses and expand your network at our next virtual FSB Connect event. It's hosted by Peter Searle. And if you want to register for it, Wednesday the 29th of July, 4pm, if you go to www.fsb.org.uk/event-calendar/FSB Maidstone. That's www.fsb.org.uk/event-calendar/FSB Maidstone if you'd like to attend the virtual networking on the 29th of July.
And the COVID-19 pandemic has damaged the entire UK economy, as we know, but it has been particularly severe for creative industries, from the arts, architecture, to media, design, publishing and craft companies. Oh, craft beer as well. I mean, so much got thrown away. Creative industries are faced with a unique set of circumstances as they try to navigate through the crisis, requiring unique solutions in order to survive. So there's a webinar which is hosted by the fabulous FSB, and they'll be looking at the skills and knowledge you can help you, to help you. Some of those will be available funding routes, as well as how to support yourself financially using different best practice advice and how to access the new Arts Centre Fund announced by the Chancellor, what tech solutions could you be using, how to take into account intellectual and overall creative rights with your work, and how to get back to business and restore your finances, most important. And you can register. It's a free event on Friday the 31st of July, 2pm, and you can go to the events, FSB events, and you'll find it there. Probably be on the Kent Business Radio after.
It will
as well,
be, yeah.
I'm sure.
Right. Jenna Group are delighted to promote the forthcoming Shetway Sports Trust Charity Golf Day as the main sponsor of the event for the third year running. We're delighted that the Trust are able to proceed with the day, which will of course adhere to all enhanced safety measures, heightened hygiene and social distancing, to allow them to raise vital funds to continue the amazing work they do. You can find out more about the Trust via their website, which is shepwaysportstrust.org. That's shepwaysportstrust.org. The day itself will be held on Friday the 11th of September at the glorious, and it is glorious, Broom Park Golf Club over near Canterbury.
Yeah.
It's £40 per person, and the format is Texas Scramble.
What is that?
Don't know, don't play golf.
I did have scrambled egg this morning, that
did
was
you?
Nice, yeah.
Did you pay £40 for it?
No.
It wasn't
I
the same.
I smoked salmon, though. It's very nice.
It's a relaxed and enjoyable day, and I'm sure even more welcome this year as a chance to get back out and network in a safe manner. That's from the lovely Ella Brockerbank. So if you want to join in with that, the Golf Day in Aid of Charity, sponsored by Jenna Group. If you go to shepwaysportstrust.org, you can find out all about it and register to play in a Texas Scramble.
And there's a virtual business support. It's Cash Flow Management, Wednesday 22nd of July, 12 to 1:15. It's for SMEs, small business owners. Knowledge and understanding of cash flow management is crucial, as you know, for business, especially right now. So it's delivered in partnership with Wenta. And you can go to www.fsb, that's Freddie Sugar Bertie, .org.uk, and go to the events calendar. That is Wednesday 22nd, so mañana, 12 o'clock. It's virtual business support, cash flow management.
Fantastic. And Henry, who we spoke to just now, has just tweeted, had a great chat with on a Business Bunker with Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin about a pop-up business. Love to help everyone we can. The upcoming event is on August the 3rd. It's Kent Online Business Course, Monday the 3rd of August, 10 a.m. And there's a link in that tweet should you want to register. And you can follow Henry on the Twitter, Henry M. Nicholson. So all one word, Henry M. Nicholson is his Twitter handle. Give him a follow, or follow Pop-Up Business, and register yourself on that business startup course on August the 3rd. Right, I think we're going to play some adverts and go to the newsroom, yeah, and then talk to our next guest. Does that sound like a plan?
See what's happening.
Here we go.